Defensive front for San Francisco. And from the pocket, Burrow now stepping back, trying to find some breathing room, and it's still alive as he throws, and it's caught by Higgins. What a sensation.
Williams had a block and Brown had a block. The two tackles go and deep. He's got him. Chase at the 20. You can kiss him goodbye. Touchdown, Cincinnati. 64 yards.
On first down, Burrow with time. Looking deep. Looking for Chase. He's got it. And Jamar Chase on the deep ball for the touchdown. 63 yards, Burrow to Chase.
Hooday, guys. We are live.
Hooday, Bengal fans. He is Mon. I am Jake. That is Eric. And this is the Bengals Pulse, the heartbeat of our Cincinnati Bengals. Yes, this is not an optical illusion. Mon and I am sitting right now in Mon's man cave, the Abel Hassan abode. I feel very privileged, but we are coming to you guys live tonight. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on tonight. Hooday to all of you guys. We are just over a week away from the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft. Very exciting times. Mon, how's your week been, my guy?
It's been great. Excited about the draft being 8 days away, like you said, Christmas in April. Can't wait. So many mocks out there recently, a lot of news. The Athletic and Dane Brugler came out with The Beast, which is like the gold standard for information on draft prospects. I love that. We got a couple first-time listeners today. A firefighter I work with, his daughter's a big Commander fan, Redskin fan. So I want to say hi to Ashley. Thank you so much for watching. And Cheyenne at the hospital, they said they're going to listen. Hello. Thanks for listening to the Bengals Pulse. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, guys. And thank everyone again for jumping on board tonight. Again, it's this is that time of year, Mon, where it is just like you said, it's Christmas and spring. The Bengals have started their workouts. It was, I don't know about you guys, but it is so awesome watching the Bengal players, go into the building. You see all those familiar faces. And I was asking the guys off air. I've been looking. I haven't seen anybody that has not shown up. So if any of you guys out there, any of our listeners, if you know of any Bengal players that have not shown up, I'm very curious. Put it in the comments section. Again, we want to make tonight more of an open forum, kind of a question-answer type of thing. We got some great questions that we're going to get to here in just a minute. But if you guys have any questions you would like us to talk about or just anything, Bengals, let us know. Put it in the comment section, and Eric will throw it up there for us, and we will get to as many as we can. But as I said before, the Bengals start their workouts. And you know when that happens, guys. It's getting closer. It is getting closer. The NFL draft. We are right around the corner. Some other interesting news this week. We saw Zach Taylor had his presser. He talked a little bit about Joe Burrow and where Joe Burrow is. I think everybody feels really good that Joe Burrow is going to be ready for OTAs. Mon, I want to ask you real quick your thoughts on the Joe Burrow injury and how quickly he's progressed. Are you surprised by the fact that Joe Burrow might be throwing for OTAs?
No, I love seeing the workout video. He has strength in his arms and his wrist, obviously. I guess we'll find out how accurate, if there's any issue with his accuracy with the ligament issue. But I did read the Hobson article. Apparently, he's put on some weight. He's put on some muscle mass. I guess he's a little heavier than 215, which is a welcome thing. He's taken a lot of pounding his first 4 years in the league, so that added muscle is going to help out. No, but I'm excited, and I'm actually surprised. I shouldn't say surprised. I'm happy. So many internet doctors, ESPN 1530 had a doctor on, said it could be 6 to 8 months. Obviously, it hasn't been. He's progressing well, and I think he's going to be ready. I think we're going to be fine there. I'm not really stressed about it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not really either. I want to also give a shout out to my buddy, Omesh, who is tuning in tonight. Ocho, thanks for tuning in, man. I really appreciate it. He's a big Bears fan, so he obviously is stoked, right? With the number one pick overall, possibly them getting Caleb Williams, which would be, I don't know. Him and I were kind of talking this week, and my thoughts still is with Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this draft. You never know how it's going to work out. I'm not a Caleb Williams guy. But my buddy Omesh, again, they got the first pick and the ninth pick. Going to be interesting to see what they do with their picks. Again, that's the fun part about the draft. Just to let you guys know, the Bengals Pulse is going to be going live right around pick 10 to 12. Now, we are going to be here. So just in case the Bengals move up, right, Eric, and get our guy Brock Bowers, we are going to go live immediately. Immediately when that comes across the board, which I am hoping it does, with those beautiful words saying the Bengals have moved up and are now on the clock. But we are planning right now, guys, on going, getting on about pick 10, pick 12, and we're going to take you all the way through the Bengals pick and then obviously talk, about the Bengals pick after that.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be exciting. And of course, I don't want to throw out anything. That's I don't know. I guess we could say something at the end of the show, but we have an awesome, awesome guest coming on Monday, coming on this Monday to talk about the Bengals draft. And guys, if anybody knows what is going on in that Bengals room, he is one of those guys. Jeff Hobson is going to be joining us on Monday, to talk Bengals draft. It's just that time of year. It's exciting, right?
It is. Yeah, I'm excited about it. It was very nice of him. He said he's going to be able to join us for a few minutes on Monday night. Draft week, Jeff Hobson, that's a good get. And I'm excited about that. Ask him some questions, get his thoughts and where he thinks the Bengals will go. Offensive line, offensive line, offensive line.
Brock Bowers. Well, Brock it was Bowers. Interesting, didn't in the beat writers draft, he actually picked the cornerback, Nate Wiggins, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah,
which was surprising because some people had said that he's a less talented DJ Turner. So I can't say that for sure, but that some of the comments that some of the podcasters made today, I don't want another DJ Turner.
If you read the article and his rationale and other people say cornerback, it's actually pretty sound when you think about it, because cornerback four plays 400-600 snaps a year, and getting another cornerback really might upset some Bengal Twitter, but it might not be that bad of a move. But we'll talk about that.
And I don't argue with the fact of getting a cornerback, but I don't want to draft a cornerback four. I want to draft a cornerback two then. So I want the day one starter. So if one of those top tier cornerbacks drop to 18, I'm okay with it. I just don't want to draft corner four when we have probably four corner fours on our team. We need a corner two.
Yeah, I just feel like you can never have enough cornerbacks. And if they do draft a guy at 18, he could eventually be cornerback one or two. But his first year, we'd probably come in and be the fourth corner. And like I said, they'll play hundreds of snaps. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. If Bowers is there, it might be hard for them to pass that up. I hope he's not. But we'll find out. We'll see.
It's crazy because this Bengals board is all over the place at this point, right? I mean – I'm excited to have Jeff on, who's been so great to our show and has been on our show a couple times. And every time Jeff comes on, it's a lot of fun. So I'm excited to get Jeff's take on Monday with him actually being in the building and hearing the whispers. It's going to be interesting to see what Jeff's take is on it, because really, if you look at these boards, guys, I mean, it's O-line, it's Brock Bowers, it's Murphy from Texas, it's a wide receiver. It's a corner. I mean, it is all over the place. And I think the main reason being is the Bengals are set up in a situation where they really could take best player available because of what they accomplished in free agency, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They could. I mean, I said this last week. I've been really big on the trenches. I'm not really going to stray from it. The issue is some of the mocks I've seen, Dane Brugler, there could be five to six offensive linemen taken before 18. So the Bengals might not have an option to pick that offensive lineman that they want unless they move up, which I don't think they will, but it could happen. It could be a cornerback, could be Bowers, could be a, you know, another skill position player. Maybe they trade back. You know, and we already have 10 picks, but if we get another pick in the top 100, that'd be a great move too. We'll see. There's a lot of options there. Every draft always has a guy that drops it a little bit that we don't expect to be there. Maybe that happens to the Bengals, and they pick one of the guys that they never thought would be there.
Well, and I'm not betting on them moving up because we all know that just is not probably going to happen. But if they're going to do it, would this not be the year to do it, guys? I mean, you said it earlier, Mom. We got 10 picks. We're not making 10 picks. I just don't see that happening. You have 3 picks on day 2. The Bengals are set up right now. There's a reason why. There's a reason why all that was changed and we got that 3rd round compensatory pick. I just know there's a reason why that happened. And this is the year to do it. I mean, the Bengals have ammunition to move up into the draft. And again, if what we're hearing from what we're hearing from Zach Taylor and some of these other Bengal insiders that are in the building, we are hearing that this team is trying to make a run. You see, this whole week, all we've heard is the T. Higgins thing is dead. So they're not trading T. Higgins. That's not happening. You can take that off your mocks. You can take that out of your mind. It's not happening. The Bengals are keeping T. The Bengals are trying to make a run at the Super Bowl. So why not this year? Move up. Move up. Give them a first-round pick next year. I don't care. I want a ring. Go up and get a guy that is going to make an impact immediately. And that guy wears number 19.
I love – put up Kenzie's comment again. She's the best on Twitter. Yeah.
I love Kenzie, it, Kenzie. Oh, my God. If they do that, Kenzie, I am 100% on board. I think Malik Nabers is the best receiver in this draft. And if the Bengals can somehow pull that off, I don't see it happening. I think Brian Thomas is more realistic, but oh my God, move up and get Malik Nabers. Give me Brock Bowers. Give me a guy that is going to make plays right now and be a big part of this run, because the Bengals, they're in this window right now, guys, where this team it's loaded. They got better at the positions they needed to get better at. They got better at right tackle. They got better at safety. I'm not going to say running back because you and I are Joe Mixon guys. We'll see. We'll see how the running back situation pans out. But they got better at tight end. They got better at all these positions that they needed to through free agency. This is the year, guys. They got to do it. They got to move up. They got to go get the guy that is going to make an impact. I don't want any more guys that we got to wait 2 years to see if they're going to start or not. I don't want that. I want a guy right now that can play, Mon.
All right, so speculation on that. Okay, we're all saying that they're not going to trade T for Justin Jefferson. I think that's what we know is not going to happen. Yeah, we heard from T that he wants to win a ring in Cincinnati. He wants to play. Of course he's going to play. I'd say right now your bargaining power with everybody is pretty strong because he made those comments. So T and pick 18, how far could you move up if you offered T and pick 18? What spot could you get to?
I don't know what spot, Eric, but my question, I guess, is why would you? I mean, again, I get it. I know what Mon's going to say, but I just don't see why. I don't see why the Bengals don't go into this season with the best possible roster they can. And a Bengals team without T. Higgins is not the best possible roster that this team could have. Listen, you heard T this week. T is playing. He's in. That's why we have to shut out all this outside noise that, you know, maybe his agent's trying to throw some stuff out there. People are trying to get clicks and all this other nonsense. T. Higgins is not going anywhere. He wants to be in Cincinnati. He's gonna get paid $22 million this year. He's not going anywhere. The Bengals need to make a run. Do not – first of all, they're not trading T. Higgins. It's not happening. But why, what would be the purpose of moving up, Mon, to get, and I know what Eric's saying because we've heard a lot of this, but is there a receiver in this draft that is going to help the Bengals right now more than T. Higgins?
And My point would not be to trade up and get a receiver. Mine would kind of lean into what Mon and I had a conversation before you made it over. Talking about how the Bengals don't really have a superstar offensive lineman. Could you package T and pick 18 to move up to pick 5 or 6 and get Joe Alt? You now have a 5-year locked in right tackle that
I would never, I would never trade T just to move up. I would want an actual pick. If we hypothetically traded T to move up 10 spots. Okay. I would want another second or another third rounder to come in also. I wouldn't do that. Listen, T's going to be a Bengal this year. You saw what he said. I don't expect him getting traded. My concern is this, and I'm not trying to overthink this. Last year he played on a 1-year contract, injury riddled, little hamstrings. His head wasn't in. You know, the last thing this guy wants is to rupture an Achilles, tear up his knee. He's going to be thinking about that. And I don't think we're going to get the T that we're used to. We're going to get the T that's probably distracted a little bit because he's on this 1-year deal. Players want long-term security. I want T. Higgins from 2021, 2022. I don't want the T. Higgins of 2023 that was distracted a little bit. That's my only concern about T. Higgins right now.
Get it.
Now, you know, what we were talking about before Jake came over, yeah, the offensive line. That's my biggest issue right now. Paul Daner's podcast, I'm not speaking for Paul Daner, but he brought up a good point. You know, when are they going to finally get an elite player on the offensive line? Orlando Brown is a very good tackle. He's not elite. The Bengals, Eric, 11 players play on offense. 5 of them are offensive linemen. We know that. This is just, you know, fundamental math. We don't have one elite player on the offensive line. I mean, we have one good player, and the rest are average to above average. That's what they are. I think Joe Burrow, I think the Bengals deserve a little bit better. We're not going to replace the whole offensive line in one draft, but we have to invest premium capital to eventually get this offensive line where it needs to be, because that's the only way we're going to win championships is to get a very, very good offensive line. And I think it's lacking. I think some of our starters could be replaced, but it's not going to happen this draft because there's too many other needs.
And again, I think, you know, for me, trading T, I don't know. All I do is I go back and I look at 2014, and you and I watched that Colts Bengals game right here in the Abulhasan abode, right over here in this corner. We watched
Rex Burkhead.
Rex Burkhead was one of our starting receivers.
Kobe Hamilton
was one of our starting. Again, Andy Dalton gets blamed for losses, but he's got to take the field with a running back as a starting receiver and Kobe Hamilton. Guys, T. Higgins is a top 10 wide receiver in this league. Yes, this draft has got good receivers. There's no doubt about it. But there is no guy in this draft that you would want on that field more than T. Higgins. It's just not. There's just no way possible. And I'm going to go back real quick about the offensive line thing. The Bengals, I know what you guys are going to say. I know we can't worry about what's happened in the past. But I am so tired of the Bengals going out and getting these offensive linemen. We've used premium picks on offensive linemen in the past, and we have not developed any of them. And I know you can't give that up, Mon. I know that. I understand that. But I also know that right now, a offensive lineman that is not going to start right now and help us right now is not going to help this Bengals Super Bowl window. That's just my take on it. I want a guy right now that's going to help this Super Bowl window, and it's not one of those offensive linemen. Is it going to help the future? Absolutely. I wish we were in that situation, but the Bengals are in a situation right now where they have to win. I mean, anything less than a Super Bowl or even an AFC championship again is, to me, it's a failure. It really is.
Yeah, but Jake, I know you mentioned something a few minutes ago about I need players that are going to play a lot now. Don't forget, last year, the starting 5 offensive linemen started every game for the Bengals. Guys, I want that to happen again. It's probably not going to happen again. You have to have quality depth. You have to prepare for that. What are the chances 2 years in a row that the offensive line is going to start all 5 guys? We need another swing tackle there. We have got to get better there. The problem with the Cincinnati Bengals has never been skill players. It's been the trenches has always let us down. On the defensive line, we gave up 160-plus yards rushing last year. I mean, that's not sustainable. We just can't do that. I would never say no to a shiny toy. You know, we get excited. We see these unbelievable plays. If we draft Brock Bowers, we draft another wide receiver early, I'm going to enjoy the production there. But we cannot ignore the trenches. We can't keep on kicking the can down the road.
Let's. It's a good segue there, Mon. We want to start. This is a Q&A with the Bengals Pulse. So let's get into some of the questions. And I have one question. This is a great segue for that. So everybody knows that Mon is trenches, trenches, trenches. He wants offensive linemen at 18.
Really?
Offensive linemen at 18. I think. I don't know if anybody's. That's breaking news. So first question.
Army, help me out.
The Bengals Army, who day? Thank you guys.
My first question is submitted by myself. What blue chip player would have to fall to 18 for Mon Obelson to run to the podium to draft over a trenches player?
That's a really good question, Eric. I would love to hear the answer to this question.
Wow. Mon? Okay, so what?
Not an O-lineman, right? That's the question. Yep.
Not an O-line, not a defensive line. So we're talking tight end, wide receiver. I'm okay with a game-changing linebacker if that's who you want. But
okay, if the wide receiver from Washington would happen to drop to 18, the Cincinnati Bengals, Roma Duzane, if he's there at 18, they would be idiots not to take him. Okay, it's not going to happen, though. But if he was there.
This is a hypothetical alternate universe world.
I would take him in a second.
Okay. So if Brock Bowers, I just want to throw this out here real quick, Eric. Let me go on top here. If Brock Bowers is sitting at 18, right? And let's say all those O linemen are gone except for, I don't know, maybe Mims would be the one sitting there, right? Would he be the only one that really has a shot of being there, right? Because Latham's going to go before that. Let's just say Mims. Mims is sitting there and Brock Bowers is sitting there. With Mims' issues, who are you taking?
I would take Brock Bowers.
Yeah. All right.
I would.
All right. So let's put it out there.
Lineman, Mims concerns me the most.
Yeah.
He's only started 8 games. I think 800 snaps. I think he's going to be a work in progress. I would consider trading back. But if Bowers is there, take him.
If Bowers is there and we pick him, Mon has to buy the Bengals Pulse Bowers jerseys and we're wearing them to the home opener. Team Bowers all the way.
Deep Heist, I need your help. Keep on.
And I think Mon can do Brock's backflip too.
Real quick, the problem I have with the tight end at 18, I saw the stat earlier this week. I guess the last 10 tight ends drafted in the first round, only one has made a Pro Bowl, and that's Njoku from the Browns. The Bengals, I just need to see the Bengals properly use a tight end for me to get excited about a tight end in this offense. I haven't seen it under Zach.
I'll make two comments on that. One, everybody agrees that Brock Bowers is not normally, he's more of a slot player. He's tight end / slot. We have an opening in our slot wide receiver. Two, we have a new offensive coordinator. So we know that Callahan didn't use a tight end much, and we know Zach Taylor heavily influences the offense, but we have Dan Pitcher now. So we can't sell him down the river. He might have tight end stuff played up.
Good point.
Ready to go.
We will see.
And we already drafted Mims. His name was Cedric Oboihe. And I don't want another Cedric Oboihe, Mon.
This guy
which, by the way, we were sitting in here when that draft happened.
I hated that.
And that's one of the worst picks in Bengal history. I mean, think about how far that set us back. 2015.
Him and Jake Fisher.
Right. He was supposed to be Andrew Whitworth's replacement. Are you kidding me?
But it led to Joe Burrow. It led to Burrow and Chase. Those dark years led to Burrow and Chase.
I just don't want to see Cedric Oboihe again. A guy that we're like, oh, he's athletic and, the Bengals are going to develop him. No. That cannot be the pick at 18. Jeff brings up a good point too, because we go through and we say, oh, this guy's not going to be here. And then the Raiders come up and pick a guy that everybody had as a fifth round pick. So
I agree.
You never know. You never know, right?
Mims is a much better prospect than Cedric Ogbuehi. Much better prospect.
Oh, it's egregious.
It really is. It really
Ryan
is.
Said it's egregious. Ryan, that is a great word. That is egregious.
Yeah. Mims is a much better prospect than that. I just don't like him. There's not a lot of film on him. There isn't. He could be. Who was it? Somebody mocked him today. Might have been Johnny, the fireman from Cincinnati. He mocked him in his final mock on Twitter.
Oh,
so we'll see what happens.
Dude, Cedric Ogbuehi, I'm still scarred by Cedric Ogbuehi.
Yeah, that was bad.
That pick set us back 4 years. I mean, it is what it is. All right, Eric, you have another question for us?
Sure. We talked about this on, I think, 4.0. Keith Perry at kperry8886 asked on Twitter, how early do you think the Bengals could draft a linebacker?
It's a good question.
Good question.
I think, you know, I don't see it happening in the first 2 days. You know, the Bengals right now, and if they did not re-sign Akeem Adeniji, I could Akeem Adeniji. I just said Akeem Adeniji. I am listen, Akeem Davis Gaither. I am so sorry. I just called you Akeem Adeniji. That is such.
He's never coming on now. Thanks.
Listen, Akeem. Davis Gaither, I am so sorry. Please do not hold that against me that I just called you Adeniji. That is such an insult. But with them re-signing Gaither, I don't see it happening, right? I think if they don't re-sign Gaither, I could see the Bengals maybe going with that compensatory third with a linebacker. But, you know, again, Mon, we talk about all the time. The Bengals play two linebackers on the field, right? They just extended Logan. They just extended Jermaine. They just re-signed Gaither, and they just re-signed Joe Bocci, by the way,
right,
this week. And they love Joe Bocci.
They do.
So right now they're sitting at four linebackers that are definitely making this roster. I don't see the Bengals going linebacker unless it's day three, maybe in the fifth or sixth round, maybe with one of those 2 6-round picks. I could see the Bengals maybe going linebacker. This is not – Justin said it, I think, a week or two ago – this is not a good linebacker draft. So I just don't see it happening in the first 2 days, Mon. What do you think?
Yeah, they don't keep a lot of linebackers, 5 or 6 max on the roster. We know the two starters, Akeem Gaither, Joe Bocci. I'm surprised Marcus Bailey has a sign. They picked up the gentleman, Harper, from the Dallas Cowboys, who was a core special teamer for the Cowboys. He's still on the team. They might pick a linebacker, maybe fourth, fifth at the earliest. But I don't see one unless one of the really top ones in this draft ends up, you know, dropping and becomes ultimate value pick. They might do that. But I don't think linebacker is going to be a big, big priority.
No, I just don't see it happening. And to answer your guys' question, Marcus Bailey has not signed. He has not signed with anybody. Right. He is still a free agent. So maybe the Bengals are kind of waiting to see how that pans out. Yes. Marcus Bailey, you love him. He's been a great special teamer for the Bengals. I could definitely see the Bengals, if they don't draft a linebacker, I could definitely see them bringing back Marcus Bailey. But right now he is a free agent.
Yeah.
For you guys that are asking, he has not been re-signed by the Bengals or has been re-signed by anybody else. So he's still one of those free agents that is sitting out there. I just don't see it happening. What's the real good – the one linebacker that Justin talks about? Is it Wilson?
Is his last name? Is he from Wisconsin?
No, he's from like North Carolina State.
Yeah,
I thought.
I'm looking at Dane Brugler's top 100 list here. I was looking for him actually. He doesn't have them as a top rated linebacker, unless he has him as a defensive end potentially.
But they have Junior Colson from Michigan. He's got him at Junior Colson at 42. Is that the top? Is it that
Brugler's? Linebacker one? Yeah, that's
Brugler. So that's Brugler doesn't have a linebacker rated in the top 40. And again, you know what? I'm not saying Brugler knows everything. Then he's got Cooper from Texas A&M. So yeah, I guess that linebacker we talked about has really dropped.
Peyton Wilson.
That's his name, from NC State.
He's 88 on Brugler's big board. I have his big board up because out of all the draft pundits, I really like his draft publication. I've been reading it for the last couple of days. He does a really good job. I really respect his top 100. But Peyton Wilson, he has 88, so he has him as a third rounder.
And somebody just put in the comments, I didn't catch who it was, but they made a very good comment about linebacker. if the Bengals draft a linebacker before the fifth round, that's definitely a roster mismanagement. That is not a smart pick after all the money they have put into that room with Logan and Jermaine. I mean, let's be honest. The Bengals just don't play a lot of linebacker. And that brings really to this point, because we heard Zach Taylor talk a lot about Dax Hill this week. And, the fact that they reached out to Dax and told him, hey, Dax, listen, we're going to go out and sign two safeties. They're both going to be on the field. We got a plan for you. Maybe that plan is coming in and playing that position. Because we all know you get Dax Hill in the box. He's a great tackler. He's great in the box. He just is not a free safety by any means. So maybe Dax Hill is their thought at linebacker. What are you going
to
say, Eric?
That's a segue to my question. Was drafting Dax a mistake? You know, Mon always talks about drafting for next year's replacement. They drafted Dax Hill thinking he was replacing Jesse Bates. We all knew Jesse Bates was gone, but because we thought Dax Hill was him, we let Von Bell walk for a year, and losing Bell last year hurt the team a lot. So yeah. What do you think?
I don't want to go negative here. I don't want to reopen old wounds. I know we have to move on. Dax Hill has a lot of talent. I think Bengal Twitter's a little hard on him. I'm not going to give up on him. Jesse Bates, who he replaced, had an uneven start to his career. I think Dax Hill still has a lot of potential, but I am going to say this. Let me go back in time a little bit, and I'm sorry if I come across as negative. When you have a known commodity like Jesse Bates, when you have a known commodity like Kevin Zeitler, when you have a known commodity like T. Higgins, Andrew Whitworth.
I was about to say.
Okay, what we need to do is we need to keep these guys, all right? Instead of using draft capital to find their replacements, let's sign them to a fair contract, keep them, and use that draft capital to shore up other spots. Listen, Kevin Zeitler wanted to be the highest paid guard in football. That was never going to happen in Cincinnati. I'm not blaming the Bengals for that. I'm blaming the Bengals because the year before he wanted to be the highest paid guard in football, that's when they should have signed him. That's when he was more affordable. Jesse Bates, his number increased dramatically. But the year before, that's when they should have maybe sweetened the pot a little bit and tried to sign him. Same thing with T. Higgins. Yeah. T. Higgins, last year, what if you offered him another $2 or $3 million or something? I mean, I don't know. I don't have the intricate details of their negotiations. Sweeten it up the year before, you maybe could have gotten him. All right? And guess what? Now we're considering Bowers or the other LSU wide receiver or somebody. You know what I'm trying to say?
Those are elite talent players.
No, they are good players. But what I'm trying to say, if you had locked up T. Higgins last year,
you wouldn't even
be thinking about that.
I agree. Well, you still would be thinking about Bowers. But you're right about Brian Thomas and those guys.
Until the Cincinnati Bengals show me they know how to operate with a tight end, I'm not going to be excited about a tight end. Okay, that could change this year. But calm down, hey, man.
Joe Burrow, 2 years in a row, just made two tight ends
protect me.
Millions of dollars, Mon.
Heather, I need help.
So here's the thing. This is the thing. It's not the offensive coordinator or the coach that needs to handle and incorporate a tight end. The tight end is the hot read when Burrow is getting blitzed. Burrow has not had trust in his tight ends to be where they need to be or to get open. You give Burrow a talent like Kittle or Kelce or Bowers, he will use him. Look at the one play last year where he went over the top to Drew Sample. It's the seam route up the middle. If Drew Sample is 1 inch taller, that goes for a huge touchdown. Never threw it again because he didn't trust him. Burrow with a tight end he trusts, game over.
And why are we even throwing seam routes to Drew Sample? Let's get back to the Dax Hill thing real quick, guys. Because I want to say something too about Dax. The question was it a mistake? And I'm going to say no, it wasn't a mistake. And the reason why I'm going to say no, it wasn't a mistake is because Dax Hill was a very talented player. The Bengals needed a safety at the time. Remember, Dax Hill was one of the best players available at that pick. That wasn't really a reach pick for the Bengals. Dax Hill was one of the top rated players at that time when the Bengals were picking. So, no, I don't think Dax Hill was a mistake. However, letting Jesse Bates walk or letting Von Bell walk because you thought Dax Hill was going to replace one of them, that was a huge mistake. That's my
point. I'm not giving up on Dax Hill. I'll say this. I'm saying it on live telecast right now. He has the potential to be one of the best players on this defense. He really does. He's that athletic. They just got to build up his confidence. We can't give up on him. I know I just said this a few minutes ago. Jesse Bates really did. I mean, every Bengal fan knows this. He had moments like, man, where's Jesse Bates? Now look at him. Dax Hill, just give him some opportunities. He's super athletic. He could fill in for Hilton. And when Hilton leaves, he's going to be a key part to this defense. I'm excited about his development. We can't give up on him.
And I don't think Hilton's leaving. I'm going to tell you now. I think Hilton's going to get re-signed. I think Mike Hilton is one of the top players on the Bengals.
Ace is in the house. Hello, Ace.
Hey, Ace, what's up, my man? He is one of the top players on this Bengals roster, and I think the Bengals love Mike Hilton. I know people keep throwing in that Dax Hill might be Mike Hilton's replacement. I don't think he is. I don't think Mike Hilton's going anywhere. I think Dax Hill, again, is going to fit more of that role, what I would call like a joker, which is a safety that you can move down into the box. You can bring him off the edge. He can cover the intermediate routes, and he's a good tackler at the line of scrimmage. I think that's more of maybe what they have going on with Dax Hill. I don't see Dax Hill being a slot corner. I just don't see it because I don't think he can cover that well. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Our safety room kind of feels crowded now. What do we think that these two safeties means for Jordan Battle? How much of him are we going to see this year?
That's a very good question because Jordan Battle, I must say it again, he was my favorite pick in the draft. I said it from the beginning. But it is going to be interesting to see because I think Jordan Battle played better than any other rookie that we had last year. But I also think throwing in a guy like Jordan Battle into the fire like that, now he gets to sit behind possibly what we have seen as Bengal fans is one of the better strong safeties in this league in Von Bell. And I know, you know, he wasn't the same guy in Carolina, but he was also, you know, getting the crap beat out of him every week. So I think to be able to sit behind Von Bell and to learn from that type of player and that type of leader, I think this is an ideal situation for Battle. I still think Battle's going to get playing time. There's no way he's not. We saw the talent that the kid has. He is a very talented player, and we really stole him where we drafted him. But to be able to sit behind Von Bell, man, oh, man. And again, if the Bengals don't make the mistake of losing Von Bell, they were going to lose Jesse Bates, let's be real. But not losing Von Bell, can you imagine if, you know, we had Von Bell last year and Battle got to sit behind him? I mean, he would be a totally different player.
Battle is going to see the field a lot. He's not going to start. The starters are going to be Stone and Bell. I said this before, and Jakey just said it. If Von Bell was on Bengal last year, I think it would get one or two more wins.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Our defensive backfield, 6 of the 10 were first or second-year players, very young. We saw that. Numerous explosive plays. I brought that up in spaces this week. I asked that same question about Von Bell. A lot of guys agreed. Yeah, he would have made a difference. Battle has a bright, bright future. He's still a second-year player. Jake just harped on it. He is going to learn a lot from Von Bell. It's going to make him a better pro. You can never have enough defensive backs. You can never have enough, and it's a passing league. Jesse Bates, Jesse Bates is a Falcon. Forget about him. Dax Hill, Jordan Battle, all those guys are going to learn from Geno Stone. They're going to learn from Von Bell. We're set in the backfield. We really are. I wouldn't be surprised. I said this a few minutes ago. If 18 potentially could be a cornerback, don't be surprised if BPA ends up being there and the Bengals like, hey, it's too much value. We got to pick these guys. We'll see how it shakes out. But I think our defensive backfield's a lot better with Von Bell there.
Mon, if they pick a corner, I'm throwing something through your TV.
You better bring your own TV. and just remember, we also get Tyson Anderson back, and he was really coming on last year. So having him back and having Bell to mentor him as well should be should be a value.
Brent Tyson just needs to stay on the field. I mean, the guy's had health issues.
I love this from D. Pice right here. This is true. The Bengals have never really valued guards, and that's something that they need to start doing. Because I mean, I know we're sort of jumping around. I'm sorry, Jake.
No, you're good.
No, you think about Zeitler. You think about over the years.
Absolutely.
We let Zeitler go, and I get it. He was never going to be the highest paid guard in the NFL. The Bengals aren't going to pay him that.
Yeah.
They could have maybe been a little more aggressive the year before that happened. How many guards started did the Bengals bring in to replace Zeitler? I can name five of them right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a freaking disaster.
And they were all terrible.
Yeah.
And not only were they terrible,
Redmond.
They didn't start on any other team.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it was like the worst of the worst to replace. You had one of the best guards in football. Ugh. You let him go. And then you had a revolving door of guards trying to fill in for that vacancy. For that. And honestly, they didn't get it right until Kappa. When you think about it, Kappa, I'm sorry. I don't think Kappa's as good as Zeitler.
Yeah.
Pretty close. But next question.
Look, Max Montoya. Right. I mean, that's one.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about Max Montoya, but Durkins, 100%.
D. Pice, you're bringing up, you're showing your age, buddy.
Well, that's our age too. We're both old.
I know. He's a regular on guys. Bases.
But we I mean, I'm telling you right now, I remember when Max, when that all happened and that all went down, and I was devastated. I loved Max Montoya. And again, another guy that the Bengals just let go and tried to replace and never could replace him. Max Montoya, one of the best guards in the NFL at the time. That offensive line the Bengals had was disgusting, Mon.
Yeah.
And it just kind of all crumbled apart. They let Max Montoya go. I don't want to talk about it.
Let's get out of Depressiveville here. Let's pivot to another question here.
Hang on, Eric, before we do, I want to just take like 2 minutes, and this is just all positivity right here. Mon sent this out to us. I'm going to steal this. Mon sent this out to us, and I've been thinking about it since you sent it to our text group, and it does really put last year in perspective, right? I think a lot of us as Bengal fans, we were so zoned in last year on the Bengals and what they could accomplish. But I'm going to throw this out here. And again, I'm stealing this from Mon. I don't know who posted this on Twitter, Mon. If you know, let them know. But I'm going to throw this out here for you guys.
Warren Sharp from Sharp Analytics.
Okay, so Warren Sharp from Sharp Analytics threw this out here this week. And again, this really will put things in perspective. Last year, the Bengals played the NFL's number one toughest schedule. The number one toughest schedule in the NFL, the Bengals played last year. They played 11 out of 17 games against playoff teams. And that is the most of any team in the NFL since 2000. Over 20 years ago, no team has played this kind of schedule the Bengals played last year. They went 4-7 versus playoff teams, and they went 5-1 versus non-playoff teams. They played 14 games out of 17 games last year against teams with a better than 500 or better record, right? Which is tied for most in the NFL since 2000. Again, over 20 years ago. This is the hardest schedule. Listen. The
He's
Bengals
not a math played, teacher, guys.
No, I'm not a math teacher. I barely got through that. Listen, this is the hardest schedule that any team has played in the NFL since 2000. Hands down, this is the hardest schedule. Last year, what the Bengals played. They finished 9-8 with a backup quarterback that played half the season. It's almost
DJ Reader out.
DJ Reader out. Thank you. We lost T. Higgins for a couple games. We lost Jamar Chase for a couple games. This Bengals team played the hardest schedule since 2000 of any team in the NFL. They finished 9-8 again with a backup quarterback that had never taken an NFL snap or had an NFL start, I should say. This year, our Bengals play the sixth easiest schedule in the NFL. And that is the number one biggest year-over-year improvement of any team. And that is crazy. again, yeah, go ahead.
No. Finish up. You're doing a great job. I just need prayers on the Bengals' pulse. I need my Sixers to win tonight.
Oh, please, God, Mon. Help me. Nobody cares about NBA,
it's 66-63. I need my Sixers
listen,
to win.
Listen, nobody cares
I
about
it. I beg you. Positive vibes.
Listen,
back to the Bengals
right pulse. Right now, we are all worried about the Reds' pitching staff and how terrible that crap is. But this – I do want to talk about this for just a second. That really puts a lot in perspective, right? I mean, we knew the Bengals schedule was hard last year. But it's the hardest schedule of any NFL team since 2000. And they go 9-8. And we harp on some of the decisions made, and there was a couple games we kind of lost and unraveled. But Zach Taylor
– Yes, Kenzie, yes.
Zach Taylor, that's a – oh, and Cam Taylor-Britt. Thank you, Kenzie. Yes, we lost Cam Taylor-Britt for 6 or 7 games.
Kenzie for president.
Listen, Zach Taylor did a hell of a job last year. You can say what you want to, but after looking at that, it does put a lot of perspective of how good this Bengals team really is roster-wise and how good it's going to be this year when they play the 6th easiest schedule in the NFL. Mon, go ahead.
I really respect Warren Sharp. I buy his publication every year. When I saw that tweet, it absolutely recharged me.
It's
really
crazy, because, right? It's
crazy. You know, I've been in a little bit of a lull since the season of Joe Burrow's injury. Just it was an uneven year, really hard losses, and just the defense struggled. But when I read that tweet, I'm energized. I needed that perspective. I honestly did. I sent the tweet out. The Bengals, hey, guys, we are there. We got some pieces. We do have some roster flaws. We do. But that doesn't mean we're a bad team. We're going to fix a lot of them. Bring number 9 back. We're always going to be relevant. I think this offense is going to evolve. We said this when he was injured last year. They're going to change some things. The offense is going to get better because, let's face it, Browning can't do what Burrow can do. So they had to change some things. I think we're going to see those changes this year. Look out, NFL. That's all I got to say. Look out.
I mean,
Ravens fans. Where's our guy? Where are Ravens?
He's not in here.
Aaron's not here today.
Yeah, he don't worry. Yeah.
Aaron had no questions for the press.
Now Steelers fans, just look out.
Listen, I mean, seriously, guys, that is – to think that the Bengals played the hardest schedule in the last 23 years and went 9-8 and had all of those players hurt throughout the season, including the best quarterback in the NFL – is absolutely insane to think about how good Zach Taylor coached this football team last year. And we only got better. I mean, realistically, we got better. I don't think there's any way last year we really couldn't say that. You know, we lose Jesse Bates and that was bad, obviously. And we lose Von Bell. That was bad. But this year, I don't think there's, besides maybe DJ Reader, I don't think there's anybody that we lose that we're panicking over. I would like to have had DJ Reader back. But besides that, this team got better or replaced what they need to replace at every position. Okay, Eric, did you have another question for us? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I wanted to get a couple more questions in here before we have to leave.
Let me ask a question to our fans. Just answer it. Do you think if Von Bell was a Bengal last year, we win 2 more games? Put that in your comments. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, so, well, before – I got a couple questions I want to throw at you guys. We might want to go rapid fire here to get some more in. But just to wrap up your bow here, not only, you know, adversity makes you grow, we had to grow as a team and learn how to win without Burrow. The coaching staff got better. Everybody got better. They learned how to win as a team, and that's where they pulled that out. So we should be very optimistic going into this season. Point two, do not waste your prayers on the 76ers in the play-in game. They lose tonight, they can still get in by winning the next one. All your prayers go to Joe Burrow's health. If Joe Burrow is healthy, we're winning at least 12 games. All right, let's get to the next question.
And the Reds' crappy pitching.
The Sixers staff are close to my heart. Go ahead.
And the next Reds,
question. We did a lot of speculation on trading around up in the first. We know that's a pipe dream. More realistic is what Natty Ron brings up here. Can the Bengals trade up in the second? And I will add on to this. What is it going to cost? You know, we've got those 2 sixths and 2 sevenths that I don't want. What are we going to have to give up to move up 5-10 spots in the second? And what player would you do that for?
That's a great question, Natty Ron. I think honestly, I think if the Bengals do move up, I do think it's in the second round. Again, we have that third round compensatory pick. I don't really know the analytics of it all. I know there's some kind of flow chart that they go by. It's so hard to follow that crap. I don't know how all that goes, but I think they can. I mean, I think the Bengals have ammunition. I said this in the beginning of the show to move up. And I think the second round, listen, guys, there is, I don't know every player in this draft, but I know the top 50 players are pretty damn talented. This is a talented draft. And if there's a guy sitting there, if somehow one of those elite offensive linemen or defensive linemen, or maybe even one of the wide receivers, if we go trenches in the first round, drops to maybe the early second, the Bengals throw their second in the third round, they could do that, right?
Yeah, they could. I think adding a third rounder to move up five or six spots is a little steep. Maybe a fourth rounder. I don't have the value chart, you know, the Jimmy Johnson value chart to see. I could see that happening, especially if an offensive lineman drops, you know, into the second round. Let's say they go defensive line, they go Murphy or something, and they really want that offensive lineman. I could see them potentially moving up to get one of those last ones. Remember, they did that. Did they not trade up for a TJ for Boyd?
Tyler Boyd.
Did they not? Yeah, TJ Tampa. Did they not, Tyler Boyd, did they move up to get him?
I don't remember. That's a really good question.
I don't think they did. I don't think they did. I think he was like the last of those wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
And I remember a lot of people on Twitter were really down on Tyler Boyd. He turned out to be a good pick. But no, Bengal Army did bring up TJ Tampa. He's a good cornerback from, I think is he from Iowa State, I do believe. Really, some of the early mocks had him in the first round. They see him as a second rounder now. The Bengals love their cornerbacks. I can see if he drops, the Bengals potentially moving up to grab one of them. But the Bengals do love their draft picks. Trading up, I can see them potentially trading down. And listen, at 18, if the Bengals trade down from 18 to 24, don't be surprised if they do that. They could easily do that, especially if they have a cluster of players that they see they'll know they'll get. So, I mean, trading is an option. I don't think it's trading up. It's going to be trading back.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kinsey brings up another good point. We did move up to get Cam Taylor-Britt, and that was an incredible move, obviously, Cam Taylor-Britt being the best corner on the Bengals roster now by far. And I think I just think the second round is the spot. Like, I think the second round, if you can move up into the early part of that second round, it's going to be like having two first-round picks because – this draft is so talented.
But, Brandon, you bring up a good point. Who are we going to get? I saw mocks today, and I've read articles from reputable people that have, you know, Johnny Newton falling back potentially.
There's players that
are mocked in the 20s, the 25s that could fall back into the early second. Maybe the Bengals could potentially jump up value-wise and get one of them. We'll see.
But that's what's so fun about the draft, right, guys? I mean, it's just every year – we think we know what's going to happen, and then the Raiders come up and pick. I know I said this earlier, but the Raiders are just one of those teams that just throw the craziest name out there, and it's just always a terrible pick. And a lot of teams do that. A lot of the teams, what is it, 74 all? Oh God, yes, my. A lot of teams do that. They draft the crazy things. But yeah, Natty Ron said second round's a sweet spot. I agree. I think the second round is a sweet spot. Because in this draft, the early part of that second round is like having another first-round pick. All right, here we go, Eric. What we got next? I think
it's going to be wild. So this is a really long one. I'll throw it up quickly and summarize. So James Wright brings up a question here. All this draft talk and all the speculation, do you think that the Bengals should be giving the starters some playing time in the preseason?
Ooh, okay. That's a good one. James, listen, I think we have all had issue with that for the last couple of years. I think we have all seen the Bengals start off extremely slow in the first couple of games, and it has come back to bite us in the ass, right? I mean, we have seen it year after year. We talk about it on this show all the time. It's frustrating. The Bengals come out. They look like they've never even practiced. And a lot of it is because of that preseason not playing players. It's going to be interesting to see if Zach Taylor does come out and play some of those starters in the preseason. But that's a great question, James. Again, I know I was trying to be positive, and now James is bringing me back to earth. But I do think it is a good question, Mom, because if they knew, first of all, I don't think they knew that was going to be the hardest schedule. I mean, we saw the schedule. We knew people didn't think Houston was going to be that good. I mean, there were some
Cleveland
teams,
or everybody,
there were some teams that were surprises too on there, James. But I don't disagree with your point of the Bengals playing more guys in preseason.
I don't think they will play more guys in the preseason, but I'll tell you what they will do. I think they're going to alter their training schedule, their practice schedule. You might see a little more physicality in practice, maybe a little more simulations. One of the big – you remember that poll that just came out recently, facilities, you know, the Bengals got an F for – know, the way they treated the family members of the players. Well, they got an A+ for the coaching staff because the coaches, the players love how the coaches protect them, you know? And so I think Zach Taylor, I don't think they're going to play a lot in the preseason. I think that he's going to continue protecting his players, but he might ramp up the training schedule, maybe be a little more physical in camp to help get them ready early in the season. That's what I think.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point too, is just maybe the urgency might be a little ramped up. I like that. I like that point. I do think though, Mon, you got to throw at least the offensive line. I mean, those five guys have got to go out and get some reps before the season, get some film together, because we saw it last year. I mean, it takes till week four for offensive line to actually start playing football. So anyway, next question, Eric. Good question, James.
So I'm throwing this one in here. Do we think Jackson Carmen's on our week one roster? Could the Bengals pull off a Billy Price, BJ Hill steal the center?
That would be fantastic.
I'm gonna say no. I don't think he's gonna make the roster. I think the Bengals are gonna draft two offensive linemen in this draft that will make the roster. And I think one of them will be interior offensive line as center.
I agree. I don't think Jackson Carmen makes this roster. I just don't see the Bengals right now. We know they have six, right? I mean, Cody Ford is going to be on this roster. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
I forgot Jackson was on the team.
Daddy Ron, that's great, dude.
Well, they kind of hit him for the last year or so, and maybe that ups his trade bait.
Listen, you talk about – this is terrible, sitting next to him during a Sixers game. We know the Bengals have six. They keep 10. You figure they draft two. I think Jackson Carmen is fighting for his life. And if you want to talk about a terrible pick, instead of talking about Dax Hill, we need to talk about Jackson Carmen. No, don't do that, Mon, because the second round is the Bengals hit home runs every year in the second round. And Jackson Carmen was a huge
strikeout. Let me stick up for Jackson Carmen. I think the coaching staff let him down a little bit. He was a left tackle at Clemson. He played every position but center. They had this guy's head spinning constantly. Let the guy play left tackle. Let him play left tackle. Let him stay there. He never got that shot. It might be best for him. I think they could get something out of him. I think they could get maybe another BJ Hill swap of some sort. I don't think he's going to be on the team. I think the best thing is for him go on to another roster.
Well, and the BJ Hill thing was, I mean, that was just an incredible steal. That was like the Reggie Nelson, the Reggie Nelson trade when we traded for Reggie Nelson. I mean, those things are so rare that you hit home runs like that. Billy Price, don't even start on Billy Price either. All right. Again, another first round offensive lineman, Mon.
Let's move on from the Billy Price Jackson Carmen. We heard this last week that the NFL is going to allow a third alternate helmet. Mm-hmm. With that, what would you guys like to see? Black with orange stripes, like somebody's car, or maybe the throwback Bengals helmet?
It's funny you ask this question, because I have this helmet in my Bengal room too, and I've been staring at it in awe, because that's what I do. Sometimes I sit in my Bengal room and I just look at this helmet and I cry. I want to see this on the field. Give me this right here.
Yes. Yeah.
Give me that right there. Look at that thing. Oh, my.
It's beautiful.
Goodness.
All black uniform.
I'm old. A lot of people are making fun of it. I want the old classic Bengal. I want
the
old
but this looks too much like the Browns. So,
That's Bengal. That's classic Bengal.
Over this? Look at this.
Listen, all I'll say, Mon, and this even this dates even like Jake Bob, because I was born 6 months after they decided to go from those crap helmets to the cool stripe helmets. So as long as I've been alive, it's been the cool helmets. I don't want that orange pumpkin junk.
Well, and Mon likes the Leaping Tiger too.
I do.
The Leaping Tiger.
He's
a big Leaping Tiger guy, but give me that one.
I like the Leaping Tiger, but how do you put it on a helmet to look cool? I don't think
you don't. You don't. You know what you do? This right here. Yeah. Like
and that. You put it on the sleeves, Leaping Tiger on the sleeves.
I heard about that on local radio. Remember like the original 68 logo, Mo Egger was talking about it, like the drunk tiger with the helmet flying off. The original
The
logo.
Original one, yeah, the original. 68. Yeah.
That would be a terrible one. That would be terrible.
Right. I like the 68 logo.
We're at an hour here.
Go
ahead.
I got a couple more. Well, I'm going to throw this one at you since we're talking old school. If you could choose one former Bengals player to add to this roster, only one, who would it be and why?
Well, let me ask you, is it a former Bengal that is still playing in the NFL?
Former Bengal player, I don't care. All time?
Anthony Munoz. I mean, give me Anthony.
Nah, you
not Willie Anderson? Willie Anderson's what we need, right tackle.
I'm not – listen, you're saying you're not taking Anthony?
Andy's too easy.
I just threw out a trench player. You are sitting here crying about trench player for the last hour, and I throw out Anthony, and now you don't want me to.
I'm going
to
tell you right now, player, if he was on the Bengals, he was Lamar. I mean, Lamar Parrish was Dion before Dion. If Lamar Parrish was a Bengal right now in his prime, it's over, dude. It's over. Super Bowl champs.
Well, and I really like.
Oh, Geno, too. That's a good point.
Geno Atkins.
That's a good point.
Imagine Geno Atkins on this roster. That is scary. That is a scary roster. I love the Geno Atkins.
I can make a point that to this roster, yes, Anthony Munoz is our best player ever, but adding Willie Anderson at right tackle, I mean,
that would be nice.
I'm gonna date
Corey Dillon. It'd be nice too.
Give me Tim Crumry. If you want to give me Geno Atkins, give me Tim Crumry.
Listen, Tim Crumry before the broken leg was trending to be like an elite special player.
Mon, listen.
I don't want to say Hall of Fame, but he was going to be a special player.
Tim Crumry played some nose. He played some three. He led the Bengals in tackles 1 year.
David Fulcher. Matt Silva, that's a good one, too.
Give me David, David.
This could be a whole episode.
Listen, give me the whole SWAT team. Give me the whole SWAT, except for
– you get one player, Jake. You can't change the rules here.
Lamar Parrish.
I got one last question.
We'll do it by decade, but next time.
Yeah, let's do a whole show on that. One last question before we get out of here, because this will divide Jake and Mon and leave us some good hot takes.
Well, I mean,
would you rather have a number one defense or a number one offense? Oh. And which one of us gets us the Super Bowl?
Oh, I love that. I love that question, Mon. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Go ahead. I know my answer is if we had the top rated defense in the NFL with the current offense that we have, it's over. It's Super Bowl championship.
Yeah. This is tough. Let me tell you why this is tough. Because normally I would say the offense. But, oh, God, I don't want to even say that I agree with Mon. But just if you're telling me we're taking the field with the Bengals defense from last year, then give me the number one. I want to have the number one defense because Mon's right. The defense was so bad last year. And
it's over, man.
It is over. If the Bengals have the number one defense, I think – again, when you look at having the Bengals have the best quarterback in the NFL.
Calm down, kid.
With having the best quarterback in the NFL, and you give me the number one defense, I'm going to go with number one defense. I love offense. I'm an offensive guy, but in this situation, I cannot watch another Bengals defense take the field like I did last year. So give me number one defense. Oh, yeah. That's tough.
I think it has to be defense. You know, the offense. The offense is going to do their thing. They have to get better themselves. They really do. They have
That's
to
a
get
great
better.
Question, though.
But that is a good question. But the defense is what's going to get us there.
Especially, like you said, with the Bengals offense, yes. Right? Like you throw out that Bengals offense onto the field, again, with the best quarterback in the NFL, one of the best receiving corps in the NFL.
Come on, Kenzie. What the? You got to agree with me. Come on. All right.
You feel what we all feel, Kenzie. We don't.
Yeah, we still got about 4 minutes. Any more questions?
4 minutes. Oh, I got more questions. You want to go? We're at one.
Give me one more. Nobody wants. Nobody cares about basketball, NBA crap. They don't even play defense.
Let's see.
Give me the old NBA, Mon. Okay. Give me the old NBA. I don't like NBA now.
Rolling off of this, what changes to the offensive scheme would you want to do? You want to see in 2024?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay.
I've been preaching this for years. Kenzie knows this also. I want to be more efficient and better running the ball. That alone will help our defense. I don't care about more rushing attempts. I just want to be better at it. How many third and ones, fourth and ones did we get stuffed on? It's just absolutely horrible. I know a lot of Bengal fans want to blame Joe Mixon for that. It's not Joe Mixon's fault. The offensive line has to do a better job. I mean, we just have to be better running the ball. Maybe the new configuration of Chase Brown, Zach Moss, a little shiftier, smaller backs that are a little quicker. Maybe that's going to do that for us. But I would love to get – this may not sound like a lot, but if we get 300 more rushing yards a season, 350, that's going to be huge. It's going to be more first downs. It's going to keep the offenses for the other team on the bench, and that helps our defense want to be better running the ball.
I am going to actually. I'm going to go a little bit deeper, and I'm going to say that I want to see Joe Burrow under center. I think this Bengals offense will improve dramatically with Joe Burrow under center. I think the NFL is built that way. There needs to be a lot more misdirection. There needs to be a lot more. Sprinting out. Joe Burrow is an incredible athlete. Get him outside the pocket. And there's got to be more play action. There has to be. This Bengals team does not operate well. And again, this goes back to the running game because we know the Bengals love to run a zone scheme and they're just not built to do that. They don't do it well. And I want to see more power. I want to see more guard tackle pull. I want to see more bringing extra blockers in, and I just want to see more. I want to see, honestly, I love what the 49ers do. I think, you know, I'm not saying I want the Bengals to go completely West Coast offense, but I love those wrinkles that they put in, and I just think if you could get Joe Burrow under center and you let him drop back and run play action, remember this. When Boomer Esiason was leading this football team back in the late 80s, we saw a lot of Boomer under center play action, and it just opened up the entire offense. So I would like to see
– Happy birthday to Boomer today.
Yeah, happy birthday. Hey, it is Boomer's birthday. Happy birthday,
Boomer. Boomer's birthday today.
So I want to see the Bengals – run more under center than what we've seen. But that's not going to happen because they just went out and signed – Zach Moss, who led the league in handoffs from shotgun. So that's not going to happen, but I would like to see that.
All right. We got about 2 minutes. So 1 minute, Mitch Fried. Same question for the defense. What changes do you want to see the defensive scheme? Not players, but scheme.
Explosive plays off the charts last year. Horrible. Yes. Shocking. How many explosive plays? That's plays of more than 20 yards. Bengals, I think, were number 31 in the NFL and explosive plays, if not the worst in the league, can't have it. We got to cut those numbers in half, if not more. I think with Von Bell, that's going to help dramatically. Guys, the quarterback of our defense was DJ Reader. Reader was the quarterback of our defense. He was the core and the key. We don't have that nose tackle now. So Lou Anarumo is going to have to tweak some things. We're not going to really find a guy comparable to him. So, just got to stop the run, get in those explosive plays. It wasn't just in the air. It wasn't a run game also.
So what I mean,
so Montook two, which you're not supposed to do.
I said explosive play.
Did he say stop the run? Well, listen,
it's part of it.
Okay, that's part of it. Okay, so I'm going to say this real quick. I want to see more of a pass rush from the interior of the defense. I have watched the Bengals not win a Super Bowl the last 3 years because they cannot stop interior pass rush. I want to see the Bengals flip the script, and I want to see the Bengals bringing pressure from the inside of that defensive line. That's what I want to see. I want to see more pressure. I want to see more quarterbacks on the ground. I don't care about quarterback pressures. I want to see quarterbacks on the ground. That's what I want to see.
So what I'm hearing from both of you is that the scheme is great. Our players couldn't execute. We didn't have the right guys, right?
I don't know if I can go that.
Well, that was all.
No.
I mean, is there anything Lou can change?
Well, yeah, I think he already changed it. He got Von Bell back. And listen, I'll tell you.
You're right.
Our linebackers struggled last year because they tried to take over and be the Von Bell. They're so busy moving people around and trying to get people in the right positions. I think it took away from their play. So I think as a whole, they're going to be a lot better. Not having DJ Reader, that's going to be a work in progress. There'll be some tweaks going on there, but we give up those explosive plays, more pressure up the front, like he said, perfect. We haven't really had that since Larry O left. Larry Ogunjobi was huge. We haven't been able to replace that. Huge. Hopefully Rankins is that guy.
Yeah, huge. And Kenzie, look what Kenzie wrote. Yes, 100%. Yeah,
it's a great
get more cracks from anybody not named Trey, and this defense takes off. All right, guys, that's another edition of the Bengals Pulse. Listen, we got a big week next week for you guys. Thank you again for joining us tonight. Next week, Monday night, we are live. We have the man, Jeff Hobson, here on the Bengals Pulse, a friend of the Bengals Pulse, to talk about Bengals draft. That's going to be a great show. And then right after we talk to Jeff Mon, we have our mock draft 5.0 right here on the Bengals Pulse. Justin will be joining us on Monday after we speak to Jeff. And we will be here live to do our final mock. Then on Thursday, we are going to go live, pick 10. Right around pick 10, we're going to be live. So make sure you tune in. We're gonna do the Bengals pick live on – man, you're driving me nuts with this 76ers thing. We are going to go live with the Bengals pick at pick 18. Hopefully it's a little bit higher. Then we're going to talk a little Bengals draft after that. And then we're going to come back on Sunday next week and wrap up in a crazy, crazy weekend of Bengals draft. We are stockpiled next week on the Bengals Pulse. 3 days next week. Make sure you tune in.
Are we going to let them know that merch is coming in the next few weeks?
No.
Jake doesn't even know that. I'm working on some cool merch. So anybody that's waiting to get their hands on a Bengals Pulse t-shirt, stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll let you know about that. Guys, thanks a lot. I got to go watch my Sixers. Goodbye.
They're losing by 3. All right, guys, that is another edition of the Bengals Pulse. If you like this podcast, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you check us out on all the podcast platforms, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. Make sure you follow Mon on Twitter, @TheFireMon. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, @CoachJakeOwens9. Follow Eric on Twitter, @EFlash with 2 H's. 88. Follow the Cincinnati Podcast Network on Twitter @CincinnatiPod. And as always, follow the Bengals Pulse on Twitter @Bengals_Pulse9. On Instagram, the same without the @Bengals_Pulse9. And as always, if you like this podcast, make sure you give us that 5-star review. We would very much appreciate that. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We will see you next week for Christmas and spring. It is draft week, baby. He is Eric. I am Jake. He is Mon. The 76ers must have just scored. We will talk to you guys on Monday. Hootay, Bengal fans. Have a great week.
All right, see you guys.
You're driving me nuts.